The colonel had intended to keep marching another 40 minutes to the village of Platero, the last barrio before Cabanatuan camp. But he could see his men needed a good rest, as did he. They would sit out the morning here. Footsore and frazzled, the rangers lay down in the shadow of two decrepit school buses to unburden themselves of their loads and massage their calves. They'd been up 24 hours, marching some 25 miles from the drop-off point at Gimba. From Balankarin, the POW camp was only about an hour's march south. They were within striking distance. The assault would begin at dusk. The flush of approaching combat was canceling, or at least masking, their physical fatigue. Sleep was what they needed most, even just a good catnap. But sleep seemed unthinkable now that battle jitters were taking hold. The gathering excitement, the thrum in the gut, the taste of metal on the tongue. Locals generously filled the ranger canteens with artesian water and offered rice balls wrapped in waxy banana leaves. The rangers bolted their breakfasts and talked high-spiritedly of the raid, wondering aloud what Musi and Prince had planned for them. A fierce sun had climbed over the Sierra Madre, sending early warning of another hot day on the central plain. By 8 o'clock, the air was already torpid. The tropical sunlight bore down on them, a penetrating glare that seemed to have weight. Out in the fields, the glistening gray hulks of carabaos were hunched low in their wallows, creeping along through the muck. In the shadows cast by the old school buses, Captain Prince removed his boots and inspected his feet. It was worse than he feared. The jungle rot had left the skin on his ankles and feet as fragile as onion skin, and now they were raw with a half dozen blisters. Medallions of blood seeped through his socks. The blisters had smarted so intensely during the last few miles of the hike that he winced with every step. Prince wondered what he'd do if his blister problem got much worse. It was a potentially embarrassing situation for a company commander, to be this badly bunged up with something so banal as foot trouble. So Prince didn't breathe a word about it to Musi or anyone else. He figured he could certainly make it to the POW camp, as close as it was. The long marathon back to American lines, however, was iffier. By then, he wondered whether he'd be just another gimp, as lame as the POWs he was supposed to be leading to safety. Gingerly, he slipped his socks and boots back on, keeping his secret to himself. Prince broke out his map and began to sketch his ideas for the raid. With his M1 lying in the grass beside him, he arranged a series of aerial photos of Cabanatuan that had been taken from a Piper Cub reconnaissance plane. Alternately tugging at his chin and swatting mosquitoes, he squinted to read the map's fine points in the broadening daylight. Beads of sweat rose on his forehead, occasionally spattering his notes. No matter what else happens, he kept saying to himself, the crux of the enterprise, the linchpin, was absolute surprise. The significance couldn't be overstated. If we have it, Prince thought, then anything is possible. As he cross-checked the aerial photos against the map, however, one thing struck him loud and clear. The countryside surrounding the camp was as flat and expansive as Nebraska prairie. There appeared to be no trees or structures to hide behind, just a monochrome plate of grass. By the look of things, it would be a long, tense crawl, hundreds and hundreds of yards, perhaps, before they reached the gate. They'd be exposed for the entire approach, like worms twisting on a sidewalk after a summer storm. For the young captain, the anxiety was mounting. The master plan Musi had asked Prince to devise was supposed to cover every contingency, from the moment the first shot was fired to the moment the last prisoners stumbled out the front gate. Musi would be in charge of getting them all to the edge of the compound, but Prince would take it from there. As the assault commander, he would oversee everything. With the help of his platoon leaders, he had to figure out how to apportion the manpower and the firepower, how to choreograph the event so that bullets flew in the right direction at the right time, as hundreds of men ran this way and that through smoky darkness. While Musi would be somewhere in the outlying grasslands watching the carefully designed fracas unfold through binoculars, Prince would be where the action was, having to make the split-second judgment calls. It was Musi's show in the end, but the main act, the incursion itself, was Prince's special predicament to solve or bungle. "I was very apprehensive," Prince later recalled. "Any commander's greatest fear is the fear of failure. It preys on you. You have to keep your focus. You have to consider all the things that could go wrong, but then you have to quickly banish them from your mind. If you think about them too long, you can't go forward. You're paralyzed."